This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verses 15 to 20. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
So this morning we're beginning a series for the rest of September and October with a couple of gaps where we've got visitors coming to speak, but looking at experiencing the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? How do we experience more of him? What are the fruits and the gifts that he gives? And how do we live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit? And at the heart of the Christian faith is the belief that God is with us. Right at the beginning of all time, when God created the heavens and the earth, on day six, God created humanity, Adam and Eve, and God walked with them in the garden. But they disobeyed God and were able to walk before God. And since then, humanity hasn't been able to walk with God in that garden, in that space. And yet God has always been making ways to walk again with his people. Like we looked at last week through Abraham and a nation, and through prophets and priests and kings throughout the Old Testament, God was with his people, speaking to them, leading them in his ways. And yet the people of God so often chose to not walk in God's ways, but walked away from him. And so eventually God came to the earth himself. He came physically to the earth in the form of a baby born, who was given the name Emmanuel, God with us. And for a season, God walked upon this earth physically. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, it says in 1 John 14. And through that time of God physically being on the earth and walking on the earth in the person of Jesus, he showed God's love and God's compassion and God's mercy. He welcomed the stranger. He loved the lost. He embraced the outcast. He preached about a way to live that was living in line with God's heart, not in a way that was trapped by rule and regulation and religion, but a way that was free, free to live God's best way, a God-honoring way. And he spoke of his kingdom that would come after his death and resurrection, his kingdom which is here now and will fully come at the end of all time. And Jesus walked with humanity. He walked with disciples, and during that time, he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead to life again. And it was wonderful. But then he began to speak to his disciples and say, it's not always going to be like this, because I'm not always going to be with you, physically walking with you. There is a time coming when I'll be taken away to his death, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven. But Jesus promised his disciples and us today that he will never leave us alone, for he will send another to be with us forever. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And it's the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who we're going to ask God to reveal more of us to in these weeks ahead, not just in our teaching, but in every aspect of our lives. Maybe one of the problems, though, is in the church, we actually don't often teach on the Holy Spirit very often, do we? We speak of the Holy Spirit, we worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we don't actually spend much time thinking about who the Holy Spirit is. And so the risk is we try and find out what the Holy Spirit's like from other places, from YouTube, from books, from other people, and what happens is we risk caricaturing the Holy Spirit. We're not great board game people in our house, but one of the games that our kids do quite like to play is the game Guess Who. If you've never played Guess Who, you have two identical boards. There's maybe 15 faces on there, all with different features. Some have got blue eyes, some have got brown eyes, some have got ginger hair, some have got blonde hair. And you pick one of those faces, and your opponent picks a face, and you have to take it in turns to ask each other yes or no questions to find out who the person is. And so every time you ask a question, have they got brown eyes? If the answer is no, everyone with brown eyes, you flick down. So you're left with just the blue-eyed people and the green-eyed people. And then you ask another question, have they got blonde hair? Yes, they have. Will you leave all the blonde-haired people up? I think the risk sometimes with the Holy Spirit is that we risk finding out about the Spirit by conferences we go to, by books we read, by experiences of others, and it can become a bit like a game of Guess Who, that we kind of begin to flick down, well, the Spirit doesn't move like that. The Spirit's only going to do it this way. For the Spirit to move, we have to do this. And we end up with all these questions and confusions about who the Holy Spirit is. And we hear things like, well, he's not going to move that way. He's not going to honor that person because of the way they're living their life. You know, is he even a he? Or his attributes are caring, kind, compassionate? Are they more like a mother figure? Is he even a he? Is he with us? Or is he within us? Is he the Spirit of Jesus? Or is he a unique person as part of the Godhead? Has the Spirit always been with us? Or did the Spirit only come at Pentecost? Do we get the Spirit when we give our lives to Jesus? Or do we need to be filled with the Spirit separately? And we find that we have a mixed mash of ideas about who the Holy Spirit is. When actually what the Word tells us is the Spirit will move where he pleases. So today we're going to begin our series with a simple question. Who is the Holy Spirit? And the answer to that is, firstly, the Holy Spirit is God. We believe that God is one, but expressed in three ways: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's hard for us to get our head around how we have one God who is three. The easiest way to think about it, and it's not perfect, it is the old science illustration of H2O, which in its liquid form is known to us as water, which in its solid form is known to us as ice, and in its gas form is known to us as steam. It's all H2O. It just has three different expressions or states. We believe in one God who is expressed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that means that the Holy Spirit is God. One of the ancient creeds of the churches is the Nicene Creed, which says this: we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord. The Holy Spirit is God. Our current constitution as a church says this: the church is witness for the unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Godhead. What about Scripture? What does Scripture say? Well, there's actually a few references of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in the same sentence. One of them is the baptism of Jesus, where we hear the voice of the Father: this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. We see Jesus risen from the water from his baptism and the Spirit of God descending upon him as a dove. At the end of Jesus' ministry, Matthew 28, verse 19, what we know is the Great Commission. Jesus said, therefore, go into all nations and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all referred to as God. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, what we know in the church as the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the first thing for us is the Holy Spirit is God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. When Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit in this same discourse from which Jean read before, but in chapter 16 of John, whenever Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit, he refers to him as he. John chapter 16, 12 and 13. These are Jesus' words to his disciples. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. And what Jesus is saying here, this is what the Nicene Creed means when it says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Everything that the Father has belongs to Jesus. And everything that Jesus has is received to us now through the Spirit. And what the Spirit does is the Spirit reveals more of Jesus. And what Jesus does, he reveals more of the Father. And all of what the Father has, he gives to Jesus. And all of what Jesus has, he gives to the Spirit. And all of what the Spirit does reveals more of Jesus. And all of what Jesus does reveals more of the Father. It's a glorious relationship. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we are speaking of a being. We are speaking of a he, not of an it. The Holy Spirit can be made glad. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. The Holy Spirit can intercede with groans too deep for words. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. We can be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is a he. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. The first mention we see of the Spirit of God in Scripture is right at the beginning of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is not an add-on. The Holy Spirit did not simply appear at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is not the soul of Jesus available for us today. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. Just as Jesus is the Word, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word was with God in the beginning. So also the Spirit of God was with God in the beginning, brooding over the emptiness, brooding over the void as God spoke and created. And so today, if you're feeling void, like you're in darkness, if you're feeling formless, lost and empty, know that the Spirit of God, whose ministry from the beginning was brooding over, is brooding over your life today. Know that the Spirit of God, who brooded over the emptiness and the void, was there in creation. When God spoke and created beauty, so he can speak and create beauty in your life today. Know that the Spirit of God, who brooded over that tomb where the body of Jesus lay, raised Jesus to life. And from the emptiness of what your life may feel today, God can resurrect, because the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is at work in you and I today. Out of the void the Spirit created, out of the void the Spirit raised. And as Christians, we are never alone. We are never alone, even in the darkest moments, because the Spirit of God is brooding over your life. He is with you and he is within you. So let's look at what Jesus says. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. And what does Jesus say as he promises the Spirit to his disciples? If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I have 6 points this morning, but they're all really short. The first is this: the Holy Spirit is given at Jesus' request. The Holy Spirit is given at Jesus' request. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask, Jesus says. I think this is one of the most profound things. Jesus, the Son of God, asks his Father in heaven that you will receive his Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Holy Spirit is available to us because of the request of Jesus, who asked his Father to send his Spirit upon all who will follow him. When we give our lives to Christ, we do so because of the Holy Spirit enabling us to do so. And in that moment, we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can further desire the Spirit. We can receive further blessing from the Spirit. We can receive gifts of the Spirit. We can produce the fruit of the Spirit. We can receive gifts of the Spirit. And we can receive spiritual gifts from the Spirit for the building up of the church. And it's all given because Jesus asks his Father, will you fill my disciple with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is given at Jesus' request. Number two, the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift from the Father to those who will obey his ways and honor his Son. Notice that this sentence is preceded by verse 15. If you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. Now, this doesn't mean that our level of obedience kind of dictates our level of Holy Spirit in our life. God gives the Spirit. He's a gracious God, a giving God. We can't twist God's arm by trying to be more obedient or being less obedient. But God, the giver, freely and graciously gives us his Holy Spirit. When we are obedient to Jesus, when we commit our lives to follow him, and the giver is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him. You ever thought about this? God doesn't invite you to bring your shopping list to him in prayers. God is inviting you to be in his presence and to receive his Spirit, to sit in silence in his presence as he pours his gift of the Spirit into you. And at that point, we bring our prayers and our petitions before him. But he is calling us into relationship with him so that he can graciously give us the gift of his Spirit. Number three, another. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Jesus promises that after his death, it will be another who will be with his disciples. Just as God had been with Israel, just as Jesus was physically present with them in that moment, Jesus promises another to be present, not just with them, but to be within them. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God here on the earth today. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus died and rose again and ascended on high. He is sat on his throne at the right hand of the Father in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. Yes, he's everywhere, but he is in heaven. The heavens are his throne, the earth is his footstool. Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit is the presence of God here with us in this world, in our lives today. The Holy Spirit is a unique and full part of the Trinity. It's not Father, Son, and Spirit of the Son. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another to be with you. We need to be careful of that. One of the misconceptions sometimes is that the Holy Spirit is just Jesus' soul or Jesus' spirit. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with us. He is another. He is the same. He's part of the same Godhead, but he is another part of that Godhead, just as Jesus and the Father are. But that word another kind of means there's some similarities here as well. Because what Jesus was speaking about here, and when Jesus speaks of the Spirit, what he says is, you will be able to do the same things I did because of the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit is another member of the Godhead, but just as Jesus could heal, so we see in the book of Acts, the disciples heal. How do they do it? By the power of the Spirit. Another, but who has the same gifts and is able to use that power in and through you. So the Holy Spirit is another. Number four, the word advocate. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. The word in the Greek here is, in this sentence, is the word parakletos. In its proper form, the word paraklete. And it's a really difficult word for Bible translators to translate what it actually means. And so different translations tend to translate this word paraklete in different ways to describe who the Spirit is. Depending on the version of scripture you use, you might find that here the word is comforter, or teacher, or counselor, or helper, or guide. And where you see those words in the New Testament, it's often the Greek word paraklete. NIV uses the word advocate. And all of these words are words to describe not just who the Holy Spirit is, but what he does. An advocate is often someone who speaks up on somebody else's behalf, who cannot speak for themselves. But here the meaning of advocate, it is the one who enables the works of Jesus to continue here on the earth. And the Spirit does that through you and I, ordinary vessels filled with him, the advocate. The advocate who comforts and teaches and testifies and guides. And what Jesus said here is that the advocate is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth, and he testifies to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth in our lives. Number five, the Holy Spirit is with you. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Now, the Greek here uses a plural for you. I will ask the Father to give you another advocate to help you and be with yous forever. Some translations, depending what you're looking at, it will say to be among you forever. But then later in the sentence, in verse 17, Jesus makes it a singular, personal you. And what this tells us is that the Holy Spirit is both with us corporately and is with us personally. That when we gather together, the Spirit of God is here among us. We've experienced that this morning. We've sung of that this morning. As we gather, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there I will be. So the Spirit of God is with us as we gather. He will always be with us. Whenever the church of Jesus Christ gathers, the Spirit is present with us. But he's also with you personally. He's with you personally here today, Lynn. He's here with you, Pete. He's here with you, Dot. He's here with you, Howard. He's here with you, Sharon. He's here with you, Debbie. He's here with you, Beth. The Spirit of God is here with you today, personally. And the Spirit of God is given as a gift to you forever. We may walk away from God. My hope and prayer is we never do. But what Jesus says here is that the Spirit of God is given to you forever. When you give your life to Christ, you are marked in him with a seal, a deposit, the promised Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying here is incredibly profound, because up until this point, the experience of God being with his people was always through an anointed one, a prophet, a priest, a king. But now, Jesus says, the presence of God will be among yous and with you personally. And our last point, point six, is the Holy Spirit is within you. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be within you. The Spirit of God isn't just with us when we gather in this place. He is within you. So when you go to your workplace, when you go to your homes, when you go to the hard places of life, when you go to the places that feel like they are God forsaken, know that the Spirit of God is within you and the presence of God is in those places because of that. A question sometimes people ask, though, is, am I filled with the Spirit? My answer to you today, if that is your question, am I filled with the Spirit, is yes. You are filled with the Holy Spirit if you believe in Jesus. Because when we give our lives to Christ, we receive the full measure of the Holy Spirit. But the amazing thing is we can continue to receive more and more of the Spirit. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. When we hear that word deposit, maybe the easiest way to think of this is when we buy a house. Most people haven't got £200,000 kicking around to buy a house. So when we buy a house, we put down a deposit. And when all the paperwork's done and the contracts are exchanged and that money, that deposit changes accounts, when the deposit is received, the house is yours. You're a home owner. You own the house because of the deposit. And when you give your life to Jesus, you have the deposit of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing that you are now a home owner in heaven. In this life, of course, we then continue to pay repayments for the rest of our lives, don't we, in our mortgage. But the amazing thing with God is this. He pays the deposit, and he pays every single installment until the end of your life, until everything is paid off, or to use a biblical word, redeemed. And you see, this is how we receive the full measure of the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. And how we can receive further fillings of the Spirit. Because what we receive is the full guarantee of our inheritance. But there's still repayments that can be made if you're open to him. And he graciously will give them to you. Okay, so we believe in Jesus. We have the Spirit within us. Maybe you're still unsure. Three last quick things to answer the question. Do I have the Holy Spirit within me? Well, firstly, if you're here today and you're thinking that question, if you believe in Jesus and you're able to say, Jesus is Lord in my life, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you can say today that Jesus is Lord in your life, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Secondly, this morning, if you can speak of what God has done, you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you can speak of what God has done in your own life, if you can speak of the story of what God has done in Scripture, if you can see the beauty of the sunrise of this morning or a sunset and speak of the glory of God, if you can testify to the works of God, you have the Spirit of God within you. John 15, verse 26. And when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. If you can speak of the works of God, testify to what God has done, you have the Spirit of God within you. And lastly, if your life looks different today than it did before you were a Christian, you have the Spirit of God in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. If our lives are becoming more aligned with God's heart, we have the Holy Spirit at work within us. You will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. God is sovereign. He is over all things. And God has always been making a way to be with his people. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And the Holy Spirit is God here within us. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to invite God to fill us with his Holy Spirit today. D.L. Moody famously said, I am filled with the Spirit, but I leak. Someone once said, "But I've received every spiritual blessing in Christ." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones replied to them, "Well, why are you not perfect then?" You see, we still need the Spirit to transform us and work within us. So when what we're going to do this morning is different to normal. We're not having one song, so we're not going to be straight out for tea. We're going to take a couple of songs. But before that, we're going to just invite God's Spirit to fill us afresh or to refill us this morning. We don't want to make a spectacle of anybody, but what we're going to do that this morning is we want to respond to God physically. So I'm going to ask this morning for us to stay seated. But if you want to respond to God and say, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit," I'm going to invite you to stand in a moment's time. And we're just going to pray that God would fill you with his Spirit. And we're going to just maybe wait in silence, if that's okay, as we do that. Please don't pray out or anything like that in these moments. Because maybe this is one of the caricatures of the Spirit. We don't need to create an atmosphere for the Spirit to move. We don't need move music. We don't need lighting. We don't need any anointed person to come in and blow on us or anything. What we need is the Spirit of God who blows where he will. So this isn't to make a spectacle of anybody. It's just simply so that we can respond this morning. So if you would like to be filled with the Spirit of God this morning, I'd like to invite you to stand this morning. If you want to remain seated, that's absolutely fine as well. If you're thinking this isn't for me today, if you'd like to receive a fresh filling of the Spirit, I'd like to ask you to stand. Great. Maybe you'd like to open your hands in front of you this morning as a sign of saying, "Father, I'm open to you today, and I would like you to fill me today." Even if you're still sitting and you feel that. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, your people, today. Lord, you see us with hearts open. You know the desires of our hearts. And so come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us, your people, today, in gentleness or in power, like a mighty rushing wind or in tongues of flames, enabling us to hear the still small voice of God or the thunder of his voice. Come, Holy Spirit. And let's wait.